Lone Wolf by Chris Raitt. Narrated by Jonathan Keeble. As he runs across it, the earth ignites. He goes so fast that he might be flying, barely touching the charred plates, tearing through the blue-tinged tongues that ripple out from the fissures below. The sky is alive ahead of him, riven by the aurorae of a thinning veil. He has seen the prey, towering above the boiling mass of bodies, and that is enough. Axes rise, silhouetted against fire, hurled into the faces of the damned as they scream. But none are his. The entire rout fights across the sprawling battle plains of Velbane, its fury set against a host of madness. The wolves are loosed, thrown into the furnace, just where they wish to be. The packs fight, covering one another, forming shield walls and axe wedges. Screaming night creatures crash against them, though such shrieks freeze in unholy mouths as they face the wrath of Russ. The Primarch still fights, though his immense presence cannot be seen. There are horrors enough on this battlefield to keep even the Wolf King busy. As for him, he has no pack to protect his approach, none to cover his desperate charge. He has been alone for long enough now that he no longer feels the strangeness of it. His axe whirls around him like a bolas, whistling, accelerating, ramping up for the strike. The prey looms over him. It is massive and crustaceous, boiling with black-hearted fire. Its wings unravel into the tortured night, ragged and skin-stretched. Its hooves crack the earth beneath it. Its blade rips the air itself. Its bellows make the world shake. It is a vision of mortal terrors, merged and bulked into colossal proportions, and forged in madness. It strides across the fields of murder, lashing out with smouldering strikes. The fires leap up to greet it, rippling across blood-dark muscles and reflected in oil-slick spines. A long Taurian face is crammed with tusks, weighed down by a crown of horns, wrinkled into a snarl of wrathful contempt. He accelerates. He has seen the creature before. He recognizes the curl of the demonic skin, the axe it carries, the runes of destruction hammered into iron ingots. He remembers what it did the last time their fates crossed. How could he forget? He remembers almost nothing else. It sees him, and its roar of challenge shivers the battlefield. Its leading leg crashes down, sending cracks racing out over the fire-edged plates. Its weapon moves heavily, trailing streamers of boiling blood from the edge. By then, he is going too fast to stop. He jumps, vaulting past the lesser ranks of terrors, shouldering them aside and breaking through their ineffective cordon. He calls out for the first time in years. He frees his tongue, held silent since the last of his pack brothers burned on the pyres. They are declaimed in the order they went into battle. He promised their ghosts as much, back when the funeral embers still glowed like dying stars. Alvi! He shouts the name, as he smites the creature for the first time. Gore, the thickness of magma, spouts across his axe blade. Alvi, who had no deed name, who was the purest of them all. Alvi had died when his breastplate was crushed under the creature's hooves, still hacking at its unnatural flesh, even as his helm filled with blood. The demon howls, arcing down its own axe edge, but he's too quick. He is moving like storm lightning now, spinning out of contact and spearing in close, uncatchable, unhaltable. Beornulf, teller of tales. The packs scowled, heavy-limbed but agile-tongued, the carrier of the pack saga and the memory of its slayings. Beornulf had died as the creature's fist had dragged low, thrown back into the mire of Grith's eternal miasmic plague plains. With the teller gone, the tales fell into silence. The demon tries the same trick on him, but he's too wily for that now. He is older, tempered in fires far hotter than those that harrow this world. He hastens aside, already coiled for the next thrust. Eirik, golden-haired, vital. Eirik had cut it deep before the end, clambering up the creature's own body to stab at it. He does the same now. He uses its massiveness against it, countering bulk with speed. The demon's axe sweeps around, heavy as a pendulum, missing him by a finger's breadth. He plunges his blade into its chest, catching onto the chains of iron to arrest his fall and haul himself higher. Gunald Shieldbearer. How could Gunald have died? What force could have ended such a bastion of defiance? Gunald had weathered the worst of it until the end, wielding his thunder hammer and spitting curses even as his throat was throttled. He does not try the same thing. He does not have the heft of Gunald, and so sticks to speed, clambering up the demon's hide of iron plates. It tries to shake him clear, and fails. He can feel its mounting fear. It knows who he is now. Hjorvard, Hirani. The twins, fighting together as always, levelling bolters and filling the air with curtains of explosive power. They had only been taken down when the creature had broken the assault and cast aside the last of the blade-bearers. He remembered the way they had cast aside their guns, drawn swords, and charged. They had died as they had lived, shoulder to shoulder. No more names now. He is fighting as if maddened, clinging to the demon's shoulder with his artificial clawed hand, working the axe with the other. It tries to throw him off, to hurl him away like it did before, but his talons are sharper now. Everything is harder, deeper, older, wiser, tougher. In killing his pack, it has made him into a slaughterer of apocalyptic stature. He is like the old huntsman of legend, drawing in the strength of the slain. The creature bats away his axe and bellows in triumph. It watches the blade tumble clear, flashing red before it hits the seething earth. In pausing to watch, it has erred. He has been waiting for this. His wolf claw reaches for the creature's neck. Adamantium blades, each crackling with actinic energy, clench tight around demonic thews, pressing the stringy muscle together. It thrashes. It claws at him. Its talons rake down his armored back. All he has to do now is hold on. He presses harder, digs deep, pushing the physical air from unphysical lungs. He grits his fangs. He's bleeding now from the wounds it has inflicted upon him. Its skin bursts, its vessels swell and flood, its strength ebbs. He hangs on, strangling the life from it, even as it falls to its knees. The battle rages around them, a whirlpool of unfettered rage, but even the demon no longer sees this. Its red eyes glare at him a final time, and he stares back into them. It chokes, it writhes, but he never lets go. Only when the creature is gone, its mortal frame turned to unmoving slag and ash, does he raise his bloody claw in triumph. He tears his helm from his head and lifts his shaggy head to the sky. Tasting unfiltered air, he howls in triumph. His living brothers howl with him. They know that he will be coming back to them now. They know what manner of thing he has really killed. He stands upon the smoking corpse of the demon, grinding his boots into its slumped shoulders. Only one name remains to be declaimed. The last member of the pack. The one who hunted through the sea of stars for vengeance. The one they have called the Lone Wolf for too many years. Bjorn. That was Lone Wolf by Chris Raitt, narrated by Jonathan Keeble. This recording is copyrighted 2014 by Games Workshop.